Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tonight. Can you hear me?
I certainly can. I can hear your beautiful, your dulcet tones, Mike.
Excellent. You're sitting there, right? So you must be south-facing at the moment as well because the sun is blinding you.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's fierce here for some reason. Where my window is, it just like comes in this time of the day, every day. It just kicks the shit out of me. Like,
that's okay.
Adjust my blind. Hello, honey. It's the blind man.
Oh, I don't need to put my towel on. So it was a joke about the blind man calling and the lady getting out of the shower and not putting her towel on because she thought he was. Anyway, how are you, Mike?
I'm great. You're denimed up there.
Yeah, I've got my wife said, "What's the story, Ricky Gervais?"
Your hair is kind of greased back. You've got a darkish sort of polo necky type thing going on, which is zipped up, which looks more old man for you than normal, and a denim jacket, which is
it's a Wrangler. It's a Wrangler denim jacket.
Oh, and it's got nice pockets. Actually, it's a nice denim jacket now. Yeah, is it zip up?
Yeah, it zips as well. It's okay. Let me just.
So, are you wearing denims on like as well? Like a pair of jeans, like trousers, denims.
I'm all denim, man. I'm all denim. Black, not blue though. Not blue and blue, black and blue.
Yeah. I saw somebody during the week wearing quadruple denim.
Ooh. Denim shirt, denim jacket, denim jeans.
Denim hat.
Oh, I thought it was going to be denim shoes, but denim hat. I don't think I'd get away with a denim hat, Mike, to be honest with you.
I think you probably would because you're associated with looking like a gal bag.
People expect it of me. Oh, there's Keith Walsh looking like an absolute tit. As per. What happened to your hair, Mike?
I fucking shaved it all off. I've had a harrowing week.
Oh, man. Christ. Okay, let's get into it, Mike.
It's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Yeah.
Open your soul. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
My son is playing a match. It's quite close here, so we'll do. I thought it'd be better to get a quickie in than nothing at all. Do you know what I mean?
There you go. That's something I say an awful lot in my life. Better have a quickie than none at all.
I think the key to a good relationship is knowing when, you know, just get a little quickie in rather than, you know.
Oh, don't make a fucking deal of it. Why would you?
Don't make a big fucking deal out of it.
Yeah. And it reminds me, actually, because you were messing around with your blinds there.
Mm.
Did I ever tell you that I used to live on a little cul-de-sac in a place called Swordston in Norfolk?
Oh.
And we were at the bottom of this sort of, you know, little cul-de-sac, and it was like a club-headed cul-de-sac. So you get down the bottom and there was a turning space. There was 8 or 9 houses that sort of fanned out around this. And a buddy of mine brought his, I think she was either his newly married wife or just to be married wife up for the weekend. And we were all sitting in our front room. And I adjusted my blinds, and then some neighbors across the road adjusted their blinds. And she said, deadpan, "Oh, this is a swinging neighborhood, is it?" I said, I sorry. And she said, "Yeah, you're all swingers around here, obviously, because when you did that, he picked up on the thing." And I'm going, no, it was just because the sun was coming in, and I couldn't see anything. And she's going, Oh, yeah. I've heard the swingers. Buddy's sitting there looking at me going, what the fuck?
But also, what did she think was going to happen that evening between you and your wife and the buddy?
I don't know. But nobody was more shocked than the man who was about to get wed. That's another story for another day. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Wow. Tell me about your week, Mike. What's going on? You've had a harrowing week.
I had a medical issue during the week, which was brought on by.
So if people listen to last week's podcast, they might not remember that Mike was heading off to that London to meet up with some friends for a weekend.
Yeah, and it was going to be really sort of nice and lots of nice food, lots of nice beer, nothing too taxing. We were going to walk a lot and sort of, you know, just three men lazily walking around our old haunts. We might go up to Kensington to where I used to work, or we might go uptown, or we might go to Sloane Street or wherever we might go, or we might just sit around Balham and eat like nice food. But unfortunately, we went on the Raz, big style, sort of. We were like the All Black drinking team. So we drank a lot. We drank very expensively. This time last week, I was drinking three beers. How much did it cost me?
Two pints
of ale and a pint of lager.
What part of London were you drinking
in? We were on Sydney Street, right at the end of King's Road.
King's Road, right. Yeah, so...
But I'm off thinking, the King's Road, you know, so...
All right. I'm thinking, well, you've got to be talking... Well, it's at least three drinks. God, I don't know. £20?
£24.
Ooh.
€31.
Ooh, for three drinks.
Yeah.
How many rounds did you have, Mike?
Quite a few.
Go on. Say fuck knows.
Well, fuck actually does know. But that spurred us into something that was, I swore I wouldn't do, because I'm anti-Witherspoons, because of the owner of Witherspoons is a huge Brexiteer, you see? And as somebody quite rightly made it, the point of, we've just paid £24, £25 here for three pints. We don't know the way this guy voted in the referendum. So we ended up going south at a river. Same round, same beers were £3.57.
Wow.
And you could order with the app. So when you're walking through the door, you're just going to say, table 27, dip, 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 and all of a sudden 3 pints would appear.
So you were getting 3 pints for a tenner, and you're saving yourself 14 quid.
No, what? 3 pints. It was £3.57.
What?
Yeah.
What?
They were doing a sale on Ruddles County, 99 pence a pint, and whatever I was drinking, lager was 150. It was just outrageous. The price of alcohol, the price of everything in that there England has gone through the roof.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
But still, how can your man charge 3 quid then if someone else is charging 21 quid more? Like, what's going on?
Well, they're just big barns of places. And they just buy, I mean, these are real, like, drinkers pubs. Huge, great barns of pubs.
But are the English business owners just fucking the English people? You know, like, someone's having a laugh.
Somebody is having a laugh, yeah. Any independent pub you went to was, like, really expensive. It's at least, like, £6 a pint.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, and you won't expect, I wasn't expecting that. I'd expect that here, but I wasn't expecting that over there. It was always like 3 or 4 quid, you know, and it was, you know, acceptable to have a round for 3 for 12 quid or whatever. But I don't know. It's like £8 a pint, £8 for a pint of San Miguel or something, you know?
Oh, God.
Yeah. In like, some shit, like sort of, like, and they're all like, yeah, Timothy and Tabitha behind the bar. Hello.
You know, the sketch that he does, it's like, well, I pulled that out of a skip, and he said something like, well, I paid a fiver first, but I saw you coming, so £1,000, please. But I saw you coming.
Literally, that's what it felt like. So we ended up going to all sorts of places then. And then we dug deep and went down South London, and we ended up in Tooting Common, whatever it was. And we went to a lovely Indian restaurant, which you were made as feel as unwelcome as a fart in a spacesuit. It was plastic chairs, plastic tables with paper on the top.
You fucking double down on the
right with it. We went to Aldi.
Shit London weekend.
You could bring your own beer. So we went to Aldi next door. I bought us all beer for like £3. We went into this Indian, which I don't know how much it cost us, but they wrote, it's the sort of place they write the bill on the table.
Yeah.
And then wrap everything up and fucking the bin in front of you, like, you know, so sort of a matter pannier. And a big mother of a nan and whatever was like £6, and a pint of sort of lager, and they'd even bring ice to the table. You got that from next door, from Aldi? Yeah, yeah. It's warm. We'll bring you some ice. I mean, they knew their people. They were just perfect, and it was lovely food and lovely pints.
Oh, it was good food, was it?
Oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes.
Because to me, so far, this sounds like a shit weekend in London.
No. That food was surprisingly good. The naan was just real tandoor naan. You know, it was kind of burned and crispy, and the garlic and the coriander were sort of welded onto it, and it kind of, it made you feel like you were brushing your teeth. It was so garlicky and mentholy. It was just
straight out cooked on a stone or something.
Yeah.
Fucked into the side of a kiln.
There you go. Yeah, yeah, exactly. With some pottery.
Yeah. Sorry, now it did for a while there sound like the shittest weekend ever. Did you have a nice time, Mike?
Had a fantastic
highlights. What were the highlights?
The highlights were, I suppose, sitting around debriefing the morning after, and then sort of getting up to go again and just talking shite with people. Talking shite with three men, never a bad word. Just funny times all the time, crying with laughter, nice pints, nice food. Unfortunately, though, I came a cropper, and I think it was the flight that did for me, because
you were 3 days. What time did you start drinking at each day?
Probably 11-ish.
And then you were probably sensible enough. You're probably in bed by midnight, were you?
Ish. Yeah. The last night we stayed up, I think, till 1 o'clock watching outtakes of Afterlife, which are probably the funniest things you could ever watch. Some very, very funny ones. And it's all your man, Ricky Gervais. It's all him sort of going, laughing at his own stuff, putting everyone else off. And they're all going, shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. You're a really annoying cunt. Sorry. Yeah. Now. And was there any kind of like, so those pints from 11, was there ever an occasion to have a little whiskey or something at the end of an evening? No.
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 No. No. No. No. No. None of us are into that.
Okay.
And the wheels would have well and truly fallen off, I think, had that happened. And, you know, I might skip around every once in a while or just kind of just ease up. None of us were in the, you know, I was kind of, I was worried about my blood pressure.
You weren't worried fucking enough.
I fucking wasn't worried enough. And then I got stuck on the Monday. I came home from Gatwick and the fucking thing. I was just, the world was about to fall out of my bottom on the plane. And I was just thinking, right, okay, as soon as we're in the air, I'm taking over that toilet at the back. And I specifically put myself in row 29 so I could be close to the toilet and get to the runway. He's just about to turn onto the runway. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a technical error with one of our engines. We're going to have to turn back and wait to get onto stand. And it was like, oh, sweet fucking Jesus. 2 hours I had to sit there while they closed the door, started an engine, opened the door, started another engine, did this, did that. Technicians coming from Dublin to have a look at this aircraft. It's going to be a little while before we're able to take off here from London, grab it this afternoon or whatever. Of course, everyone's sitting there. Nobody's wearing a mask. I'm completely paranoid that I'm going to get COVID. And my stomach is...
They were fortifying the jacks, Mike. That's what took 2 hours.
That's in there with bricks. Putting in a septic tank.
Christ. We better make sure Mike has a load in there. We better make sure we're ready for it. We don't have to fucking take the plane down.
your man in 28 has begun to seep.
Oh, Jesus. How, what were you on the runway for 2 hours, were you? Fucking hell.
Yeah, and then we took off, and then I was up in the air, and I was like, and I was sweating, and I didn't know what was going on. But I had noticed for a little while that my ankles had been kind of swelling up of a morning because of my tablets. And it's one of the side effects that you got to look out for. And the doctor said to me, if that starts to happen a little bit, even just regularly or whatever, keep a note, because you're going to see me before I sign off on these tablets. And I was due to see him next week anyway about these tablets. And if you get any headaches, And of course, I'm sitting there, my head was pounding, and I'm looking at my ankles, and I'm going, fucking hell. And then I get home. It's like, I was like a fucking elephant. My feet, there was no skin left, you know, to expand. I couldn't move my toes. It was oh, fucking hell, yeah. Then I rang my, I was due to go to work. I couldn't get my shoes on.
Sorry, boss. Can't get my shoes on.
I literally had to.
I'll try again tomorrow.
I had to ring.
I got to get up tomorrow and see if I can get my shoes on then. See.
Are you okay? Because everybody's paranoid about, you know, when you ring in sick these days, if you got COVID or whatever. It's like, no, actually, no, my feet are swollen up. Unless I can come to work in a pair of Crocs, I'm fucked. So, yeah, that was the...
It was the best excuse ever.
Oh, but yeah, I had to go to the quack, and then the fucking quack was sick. And it was like, oh, Jesus Christ. I rang up the receptionist. She said, I've just got a piece of paper in front of me saying the doctor is sick today. I don't know what's going on. There's loads of people coming for appointments. And it was like, oh, my God, now I feel really stressed. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, my feet are really swelling up and they're not going down. Oh, Jesus. I'll try and get somebody to ring you. Yeah. But anyway, all worked out in the end. Got a call from my quack, who I know anyway, and I said, listen, they've swung up. I've had to take the fucking day off work here. I can't, they're going to... We said, have you stopped taking the tablets? I said, no. And he said, oh, Jesus, dude. Yeah, I'll send over a script. I'll get you some other tablets. So now on new tablets, and everything is settling down a bit.
So it wasn't the booze, Mike?
Oh, I'd say it was, yeah. You'd say booze, salty food. I'd been really good for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'd done my 18 days of no alcohol. It's my skimmed down version of your 100 days of no alcohol.
You literally blew it out of the water in 3 days, though, didn't you?
Yeah, literally. And the salty food.
He's getting hot now. He's taking his top off.
The pasta with truffles that I had in one night in a lovely Italian restaurant. And all that sort of jazz, I'm sure, didn't help the situation. And loads of fat and fucking salt and alcohol and...
Brilliant. Crisps, yeah. A few packets of crisps?
No. Somebody, at one point, somebody ordered... they thought it would be a good idea to order tortilla. You know, like a thing. But they were so salty. You have to have about a foot and a half of guacamole to actually make them palatable. You know, they were let's drink more. You know, and they were dipped in fucking, they felt like they were dipped in the sea. Oh, so fucking salty.
Jesus Christ. Mike, I'm just glad you're still with us. You're still alive. They survived that weekend.
Yeah, they're sweating now.
Just thinking about it. How is the fear for the week?
Fine.
You don't get the fear too bad, do you?
No, I see. I wasn't really that. You know, when you go on the tear for a couple of days, we weren't like shit faced at any time. We were just nicely buzzed. So there was no fear, really. There was no anxiety. It was just my feet were the issue. So yeah. Your feet. Unfortunately, I have to go back to work tomorrow now. So that's going to be interesting because I haven't been there for 2 weeks now due to feet situation.
Have you tried your shoes on since?
They're a bit tight now, actually, and I'm wearing a big pair of socks, kind of like trying to hold everything brace for impact.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Can't be let out.
No. I think I'm going to have to change the way I live. That's the problem.
That's the fucking idea, Mike.
I know.
I'll tell you, I'll tell you one person who, my father is 80, Jesus Christ, 83 now? What, no, 82.
Okay.
And he had a heart attack when he was 39. And always had issues with his blood pressure. And, you know, at 39, he would have got a pacemaker. Then he would have got defib fitted a few years later.
Fuck. You never told me this before.
Did you not know this?
No.
But, yeah, so he's had a pacemaker since the 80s. Probably one of the first people in the country to get one. Yeah, and the reason he's 82 is because he became very good at watching everything, like what he ate, what he drank, salt intake, caffeine, just like, you know, exercise, all that kind of shit. But yeah, literally changed his life. You know, I think that's what the doctors say. Look, you've had high blood pressure, you need to change whatever you're doing, do something different. So, I mean, look, you could live till your 80s, Mike, you know?
Yeah, but I was hoping to do it with tablets. Not fucking change the way I live. But I think it's coming.
But like, can I say something to you, Mike, right?
Yeah, go for it.
So you've changed the tablets that you're on.
Mm.
And now you're going to get new tablets.
Yeah, I'm on new tablets already, yeah.
But like, could it just have been like that you just drank too much for over 3 days and the tablets were fine?
Yes and no, but no, the swelling had begun before.
Okay.
The plane trip and the hooch and everything. It had been a thing, but it seemed that I was on the edge of these tablets. So I look at this weekend as a sort of, you know, finding my boundaries.
Yeah, exactly. It was an experiment. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, it was medical.
Yeah, it was totally, yeah.
The two guys I was with are both trained paramedics.
Paralytics. Sorry, I thought you said paramedic. No, we're both paralytic. So I don't know, you might have to. You see, I think your journey is about finding the tablets that will allow you to
live
the way you have done up until now. You know, which you're, you know, which you're drinking and you're swinging and you're, you know, you want to.
The swinging that got me, Jeff.
Keep doing the things that you love. Come here, can I ask you a question, Mike? Sort of totally apropos of nothing, but because you're talking about swinging. Is dogging a big thing over in the UK?
Massive. We've spoken about dogging before.
Have we spoken about dogging? I feel, I don't know. I just saw something over the weekend about dogging. I was going, I don't know why. I was thinking, the English are a bit mad, aren't they? They're into that. Is that a... That's not really an Irish thing at all, really. It seems to be just a... Maybe we spoke about this.
I'm sure we've spoken about it before because I used to look after... as my my job as a countryside ranger was to look after a medieval site. Just
oh, yes! Outskirts.
Yeah.
So we don't have to get into that. We don't have to get into the dogging again, do we?
No, we don't. It's a big thing. And I saw something on Channel 4 about it recently. And the reality of dogging versus what you think is going to be there is just, you know, fucking hell.
Yeah, I could imagine.
You know, dirty old fucking transit. But, you know, ugly fire.
It's okay. If it's a clean transit, I'm in. Dirty transit, no.
But it just goes to show there's loads of men and only the odd woman, which goes to show that, you know, that men are just fucking... perverted fucks, you know.
Yeah, there's something wrong, isn't it? Yeah. There's definitely something wrong there.
There's a ratio of like lots of men to only a few chicks.
It's not good. That's really bad. Yeah, that's none of this conversation is good. We should just move on, I think.
Yeah, well, we'll move on to something different now, which is Jimmy Carr.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jesus. I mean, like, I'm staying away from it on social media because I don't really want to give my opinion because, like, it's very difficult to know. Okay, so for anybody who doesn't know, Jimmy Carr, you watched it, His Dark
Materials. His Dark Materials. I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
So tell us what the whole idea behind His Dark Materials was. It's a Netflix special from Jimmy Carr called His Dark Materials.
He comes out and it's recorded obviously in two or three. It's His Dark Materials show that he takes on the road. There's obviously two or three venues that he's done it in, and they've mulled it all together, the best bits. And he comes out and he starts kind of attacking, inviting hecklers, anti-vaxxers, and makes little of people. Very Jimmy Carr, very quick fire, jokety, jokety, jokety joke. Goes on to a sort of a subject, tears the arse out of it, moves to the next one, and then does the laugh. And then it's all very funny, and everybody's there. And he's like, if you want to leave now, you know, you've paid to come here. And he's very aware of people's mental health as well. You know, there's some people, he always thanks the audience and stuff and says, you know, there's some people who came here tonight to laugh and they mightn't have had a great week. And this is what I'm doing it for, that one person out there. But then he says, okay, the next 10 minutes are going to be, and you think he's insulted everybody and everything equally. And then he does, this is going to be my career ending. These are my career ending jokes. If you've got 10 minutes, have a listen. And he starts talking about, no subject is off. So there are things you would find offensive. There were things I certainly should have found offensive. But because he's teed them up in such a way and explained beforehand that these are jokes that I'm making, I'm not making them about the subject. I'm making them because to highlight that it's almost, you know, it's very clever, witty joking. And he has a go at all sorts of people, and he has a go specifically at a particular part of the human race, and everybody has now objected to it, and everybody is on social media saying that, you know, what a prick, never has a joke made me hate a comedian so much. But it's all taken out of context because they haven't watched what he's done. He's laid down the foundations of these jokes and told them in a way that he's trying not to be offensive, but just to be funny and, you know, intellectualizing them almost.
He's saying that if I was to make these jokes, this would end my career. And yes, these are the jokes, these, because everybody has that dark place that they go to and go, Jesus, you could never make that joke. Jesus, yeah, you could never say that. That is a word, you know, and we've all been there. And he's basically said, these are the jokes I can't say. These would end my career, but I'm going to give them to you for 10, and you can leave if you want, but yeah, whatever. And then that, all those jokes ended up in the special. I don't know why the gypsy joke got picked up by somebody, and the gypsy traveler Romany groups are saying, this is terrible. This is a terrible joke. The joke was about the Holocaust.
Mm.
And the one thing that we don't talk about with the Holocaust, I mean, we talk about the Jews and you know, the terrible,
yeah,
things that happened to the Jewish people. We don't really talk about the gypsies and the Romani and that kind of stuff. And that was the, I'm not going to make the joke, but that's the joke. There's a joke in there, and that's the topic. And I've seen people that I kind of respect on Twitter, and I've be fairly sure from the reaction, because there's people I know that are involved in theatre or involved in television or involved in shows. And I know by the reaction to the joke that they haven't seen the show, or they didn't, yes, see the setup, or they don't know the context. But at the same time, I'm like, how do you, whatever way you spin this, whatever, if I was to get involved in a conversation with somebody and say, listen, you really need to watch the context of this before you speak out.
You would be hounded and cancelled yourself because you're justifying it. People have jumped on it and they've jumped on a bandwagon, and it's down with him. And I've seen somebody who I really, really do like and follow on Twitter and whatever. And I've just been back through stuff I've said, and I've deleted stuff from 11 years ago. And if anybody wants to point out anything else, I will certainly whatever, because my group of people that I belong to have been hounded over whatever. So now I want to educate rather than suffocate and da 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 da. And it's all like, hold on a sec now, lads. He's just being fucking funny. You know, in my humble opinion, he teed it up. I watched it. I wasn't offended. Maybe my, you know, because I'm a straight white middle-aged man, I'm not going to get offended. But there are other things in there that he touched on, which I could really have taken offense to if I wanted to, but I certainly didn't. So I'd ask people to ease up.
Well, people would say that you're not offended because you're a white middle class
English speaking man who lives in the Western world. So, you know, it's your world, you know.
Yep.
We live in it's Mike's world. Mike's world. He's got swollen ankles, but he's also got feelings. It's very hard. Yeah, look, I just think lifting that, and I've seen this before with we spoke about Tommy Tiernan before.
Yes,
and he would have made jokes. I know in his live show he spoke recently in an interview about being invited to give out an award and make a little speech on a day in this I don't know what it was called. It was like a home and a drop-in center and services for disabled and physically and mentally disabled people. And, you know, he was given the speeches and he came up and gave a bit of a talk, and he started by saying, how come there's only three disabled spaces? Surely they should all be disabled, and then there should be just three able spaces, you know. So I'm paraphrasing now, but, you know, he said nobody really laughed, but you know, he said, that's your job. You take these chances and you know, he says, when I get up on stage, like, I have the fear when I come off stage because of the things I've said, because something takes over, you know?
Yeah.
And I know he got in trouble before. And I know he said stuff to people in wheelchairs at his gigs that were taken completely out of context. And while the person in that moment was fine, was happy to be included in the joke. I mean, that's the other thing, is like, there are people who have disabilities or whatever, or different, or they don't want to, I don't know. It's very hard to talk about this. Like, they don't want to be part of the joke, or be part of everybody having a laugh. Yeah. Like, you know, if someone it's very difficult. It's very difficult to defend. I don't know what he's going to do. I presume he'll wait and see if it blows over. The problem now is, like, people are contacting Channel 4 and saying, are you happy for this man to be presenting your TV shows? The other thing is, Jimmy Carr, as far as I can tell from people that I know that have worked with him, or not that I know, but whatever, he seems like one of literally the nicest people in the world, and really caring, really good to younger comics, really good to his friends, really, really good guy, like, really. And yeah, I've really been trying to think about how would I defend this. And the only way you can defend is, like, look, he was saying this as in, this don't, like, the interesting thing for a comedian is to think about the worst possible joke he could make ever. And that's the thing. This is a joke that you should not fucking make. And he's making it for the rest.
And he's tapping into something that appeals to all of us. In our darkest moments, we have laughed at these things in our own heads, or thought of this and thought, fucking hell, why is such and such? You know, there's an awful lot of people who think that only women can make jokes about women. Men can make jokes about men. People of a certain persuasion can make a certain joke about something. Nothing is off limits. He tells it as it is. I think he will weather the storm. I mean, he weathered the big tax storm. he talks about that. I heard him in a podcast. It wasn't with James O'Brien. I think it was Desert Island Discs he did. And it was, they mentioned, can we mention the tax evasion situation? He said, of course you can. He said, I'm not going to shy away from it. He said, I'm the only public TV presenter, comedian in England who David Cameron had to come out of a war cabinet office meeting to address my tax situation because everyone was baying for my blood because I was paying fucking tax. And he said, I was just doing what everyone else was doing.
Yeah.
And in such, the jokes I do are just, I'm thinking what everybody else is thinking. So, I hope to Jesus he weathers the storm anyway, because I, for one, quite like him. I think there's a lot of people out there wanting to find a fence and to jump and cancel someone. And this whole cancel culture thing has gone a little bit squiffy recently. I know you really got canceled a couple of weeks ago, but we won't talk about that. But I mean, that's fucking ridiculous.
I don't mind talking about being cancelled. It was an interesting it was an interesting time in my life. But I can't even remember what I nearly got cancelled for now.
Yeah, you see, it's yesterday's fucking...
But that was the thing. Yeah, someone dug up some old tweets of mine. We've spoken about it, have we, Mike?
No. I think you might have done it on another podcast or... Yeah.
Somebody dug up some old tweets of mine because I was trying to speak up for women and saying, men, really, you know, we really need to have a chat with ourselves and each other and make sure, you know, women just don't feel safe in the world ever. And yes, it's not all men, but it is always men, you know. And then somebody dug up a tweet that I had tweeted in 2009 or something, which was totally taken out of context, but very hard to explain, which is basically saying, oh, that I don't have any friends called Maureen, but that Maureen one is a slut and she's only jealous because she can't get a man of her own, you know, which was me responding to Bernard, who used to do a radio show within the context of kind of a made up soap opera situation that was going on the radio. And it was totally like in that moment, world. Yeah. But very hard to explain. And then there was another one that someone else dug up, and it was the Hunky Dory Girls. I don't know if you remember the Hunky Dory Girls. So, like, you wouldn't get away with it now, but around 2009, the Hunky Dory Girls were like, they were a thing, you know. So they would be they were buxom, they had bosoms, and you know, low cut tops, and they were just known as the Hunky Dory Girls, and they would appear at things and at football matches and hand out hunky dories, you know, or they were in the ad, you know, leaning forward like a page three girls type thing, you know. Yeah. And I said, I don't like that. Like, I don't think busty girls selling crisps is a cool thing to do. And I'd imagine everybody in hunky dories would agree with me now, but at the time it was very zeitgeisty. It was the last sting of a dying fucking lad culture. And there's a moment in The Simpsons where Homer says about a car, he's going looking at the, he's at this motor auto show or something. Yeah. He's walking around. There's a girl, you know, with a bikini top on or whatever, standing beside the car. And he says something like, you come with the car, you know, really fucking sleazy, horrible, you know, but totally like, you know, Homer Simpson type thing to say. So that is, it's very hard to explain the way your mind is working when you're saying, oh, I saw the Hunky Dory Girls today. I forgot to ask them if do you come with the crisps? Like, as a total fucking joke.
Yeah,
but a joke, but also like a totally, this is just so weird. It's such a weird scenario.
Yeah.
That there's somebody selling crisps with very little on, but the Homer Simpson moment came to my head. It wasn't like I was going, hey, I'm gonna try and get these
girls. Yeah, yeah, not being sleazy, old man. You're just kind of referring to something else that's kind of funny. Homer's made even a fucking, you know, cartoon character.
Yeah, it was
made fun out of the fact that we're still using boobies to sell things.
It was a sort of a pop culture moment. And I was like, oh, but I wasn't being sleazy or ogling, but very hard. But, you know, but maybe even with those comments, I had to go, maybe I do need to check myself a little bit or whatever. I'm fine with that. But taking out of context, it looked absolutely terrible. And then I had to sort of go. And the thing about it was, I felt like I needed to say something because then I had to explain what it was, and I wanted to explain what it was. I waited, obviously, because something terrible had happened and there was a funeral going on that kind of stuff. And I wasn't going to get involved in a row with anybody over that because it wasn't about me getting cancelled or whatever the fuck was going to happen to me. I couldn't get cancelled anyway because I'm not a person anymore. You know, I'm not a public figure. It wasn't going to happen to me. So it didn't matter. I've got a job. It's fine. They don't. I hope. But I had to let it go for a couple of days. But I want to explain it because I think that, you know, I wanted to, the message was important, I think. and not enough men were speaking up. And I felt like, shit, if I have spoken up, and then a lot of women are saying, this is great to see a man speaking up, because men stay quiet when these things happen and we don't say anything. And then it's all fucking ruined because, oh, he's just the same as everyone else.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and that's, yeah. And that is.
You could do 100 good things and make an out of color, you know, off joke, sort of off color, whatever remark, and be held up by that. You could be saving all the fucking planet, but somebody say, oh, look what he fucking said back in 1972, fucker. You know, and that's the problem. It takes the good out of what you're trying to do by sort of saying that all men, it's not all men, you know.
Yeah, and then I'm just actually it is all men, because look what he said in 2009.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's a very difficult conversation to have.
It is a very difficult conversation also, because I've been involved in setting up this group called Enough is Enough, and it's a group of men, and we, you know, when stuff happens, we speak up and we're trying to end violence against women or whatever. It's a lofty dream, but look, there we are. And we've had conversations about, like, say, an amnesty. So if we go, look, there's a lot of men who'd like to speak up against and have conversations with other men about how they're talking and how they're behaving and misogyny and sexism and all that kind of stuff. And we'd like to have those conversations now, because, look, I grew up in lad culture in the 90s. I bought mm-hmm. magazines. I did all that kind of stuff. You know, I feel different now about things. So can we have an amnesty where we go, look, here we are. We're starting from here. But even that's difficult, because some people don't deserve an amnesty as well, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Some people have continued, yeah.
Yeah, or what do you say is, like, you know, it's like bringing in your shotgun for a gun amnesty, you know, but if you turn up with a tank, they might arrest you, do you know what I mean? You know, you can't be absolved of all your sins.
No, it's, you know, if you're a mass murderer and you take your gun in for it, it's not going to absolve you of your sins.
Yeah, like if I'm saying, look, I'd like an amnesty because, look, I bought lads mags in the 90s and I said something about the hunky-dory girls, but I'd like to now be in a position to speak up against, you know, that kind of sexism, misogyny, if that's okay. And they could say, oh, yeah, okay, you're okay for an amnesty. You're free to go. And then a guy turns up and says, well, I raped several women in the 90s. Geez, can I have an amnesty? Do you know what I mean?
Very, very difficult. Yeah.
But I'm saying
it's hard.
And even as I'm saying that, I'm going, well, it's not about fucking men. It's not about us going, it's hard for us men to speak up against this thing.
Yeah.
But men's silence was was very noticeable because, and I think it's because none of us have behaved in a way that we
no. Who would dare in a situation like that put their head above the parapet?
And I feel like I actually felt like I probably could, because because I've been married and with the same woman for most of my life, you know, so I don't have a lot of romances where I didn't behave myself, or, you know, there's not any incidents out there that I felt like I didn't have any, clearly had skeletons in my closet, but it felt like I didn't have any skeletons in my closet. And that, by no means am I a perfect person, but I felt like, well, I'm probably in a position to speak up here. You know, I can't imagine. But
it's all very, very, it's all very difficult. It's all very sticky territory. And you're tripping over your words and trying to second guess what you're saying even now. Mm. And that's a reflection of the subject we're on. It's very fucking hard.
But Mike, if somebody said something in a work situation recently, and I almost said, that's what she said, a la Michael from American Office or whatever. Yeah. And I stopped myself. And maybe that's correct.
Yeah, it is correct. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Oh, the double entendres, the sort of the casual misogyny, the casual sexism, the casual everything we do. And we're all guilty of it. Even though I'm married for whatever 30 years, nearly 28 years, it's still there. I have got, you know, it's in, ooh, misses, oh, you know, oh, for now, look at you. And it's like, it's just, it's hardwired into us.
It is. But also you can see how, like, there used to be, I remember older fellas saying, like, to women, I remember a situation where she bent down to tie her shoelaces or something, and someone said, oh, while you're down there.
Yeah.
Which I didn't get at the time. And
yeah,
I remember that kind of shocked me, but that would never happen now.
I don't know. I mean,
it would never be said to, I feel like it would never be said to a woman while you're down there, but I feel like that would have been something that a boss would have said to somebody, or, you know, in certain scenarios, certainly working in bars.
I think,
feel like it's still there?
I definitely feel like it's still there, yeah.
Right, we still have a bit of work to do, Mike.
Fucking lot of work, yeah.
Still have a bit of work to do. Yes, we have a lot of work to do. Holy shit. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Anyway, have you been watching any television?
I have to go and watch this match then. Any? What about a quick check it out? Before we
finishing up the most stressful program in the world, the Ozarks.
Yes.
Fucking hell! If you just talk about ramping the pressure up, it's like a cog. It's just, I felt I needed a shower after that last night. It was just like, I watched the last 15 minutes of the last episode that's available at the moment, and it was just, oh my god, and I was saddened, absolutely saddened by it. So if you haven't watched that, watch it. And then almost by mistake yesterday, I was doing some sort of digital cleaning, you know, when you sort of like get rid of stuff you've got on your hard drive that you've taped on your TV. And I was sort of, right, okay, I'm getting rid of Amazon Prime, because I don't watch Amazon Prime. I haven't watched Amazon Prime in 4 months. So it's like, what's the point of paying for that?
You're trying to find the money you spent at the week. Over the next 10 months, I'm going to pay for this weekend.
But I had a load of Tommy Tiernan's backed up on a little hard drive.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought I'd watch them. And I was staggered at the amount of Tommy Tiernan that I didn't like. And that's because I think the people now are becoming household names. They used to be a little bit, you know, there was a very interesting Scottish chap from Glasgow who was the head of the race relations in Ireland.
Oh, yes, yes. He was a gay gentleman, wasn't he?
Yes, I knew nothing about him, and I thought he was quite interesting. I knew nothing about Roisin Ingall's mother.
Yeah. So
I thought she was quite good. But the likes of the fella from, the Father Ted. Divine Comedy.
Neil Hannon. Don't like Neil, no?
I had no sort of conception as to whether I liked him or not, but now I kind of don't, because I just found... And there's an awful lot of people that come on and they obviously don't know whether Tommy knows them well enough or not, and they have something in their head and they want to blurt it out. There's been two or three of them. And it's just like stream of consciousness. You need to just kind of grab them in a bit. But on the whole, it was good. But we found ourselves fast forwarding through a lot. But then by mistake, the last time I was in London, 2.5 years ago, nearly before the first lockdown, everywhere on the tube was a picture of a fella in sunglasses with white teeth and the film Greed. Which is, I was going to say Alan Parsons, but it's not. It's what's his name?
Greed. Yeah,
Partridge. Alan Partridge. What's his name?
Alan Partridge. Yeah. Go on, tell us anyway. I'll look it up.
So Greed is effectively about it's based on a real person, the owner of Topshop, who ran all these businesses into the ground.
Yes, Stephen Coogan.
It's all about the rag trade. Steve Coogan, leading up to his 60th birthday, trying to get himself back in, you know, the game and doing this, that and the other. And it's... At the beginning of the film, I'm just thinking, yes, why can't I just go out and be as aggressive as him and make loads of money and be this kind of person that doesn't really... He's just stepping all over people. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's kind of inspired me now to go out and make loads of money and have lovely cars and yachts and live here, there and everywhere. And by the end of it, it just turns, you know, on the whole slavery issue and where fast fashion comes from. And I must say, but my wife was way ahead of me on this, but I shall never buy fast fashion ever again.
Okay.
Having watched this film, anything made in sort of third world countries, No, sir. No, thank you very much. It is just fucking abysmal. And it's the end credits when it comes up with, you know, the top 10 billionaires in the world, I think, have more money than the poorest 3.8 billion.
Oh, shit.
It's just some of the stuff that it comes out with. It was really thought-provoking for just a bit of throwaway television and Steve Coogan being very, very, very funny and very, very sort of good acting, but very, it's all stress all the way through it. It's all stress.
Right. Yeah.
Having
yeah.
his money. It's fucking brother. Money. It's pretty work. Yeah. And it really tells his life in sort of little chapters, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and being these hard-nosed businessmen and buying yellow Lamborghinis and stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's just, oh, it's horrible, but well worth a look. Okay. Read. Yeah.
Okay, I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
When you cancel all your subscriptions, you're going to have all that money. You're going to be like, you're going to buy a yacht. You're going to change. It's going to change you, Mike.
No, we've also just finished Ted Lasso and The Morning Show. So we are currently bereft. That's why we started watching another movie last night. Because Ted Lasso, I said it last week, I'll say it again, uplifting, thought-provoking, fantastic. The Morning Show, we were only partway through the second series, and then it takes a turn, and then it all goes fantastic again. So well worth watching. Yeah.
Okay, I'll get back into it. Have you seen Humans? Is it called Humans?
Is that a Channel 4 thing about robots?
Yeah.
Really odd.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah, androgynous people, kind of like, hello.
Yeah, I'm kind
very
of...
very odd.
Yeah, but I'm kind of warm into it.
Okay.
I've started watching, and I'm kind of watching them. My seventh son, we're watching, she kind of wasn't really into it, so I just kind of went on a solo run. I'm sort of warm into it now. It's interesting. It's got lots of interesting layers and lots of interesting, you know, it's about robots, but you can see how a race can become othered, and then we try and control them, and then we decide it's up to us to decide what they do and what they don't do, you know.
But and then we cancel them,
and then, yeah, yes, it's all that stuff, slavery and other being othered and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, check that out if you want. I got to go and watch this young man playing football.
Okay, is he playing football or soccer, or what's he playing?
Soccer, yes. He's playing the English game.
Well, is it English? Is it Chinese? Who knows?
Who knows? You're right. But I suppose here in Ireland, we hate the Brits, so it's the foreign game, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so, yes.
Because we invented Gaelic football literally 100 years ago, so we could have our own game and feck them bastards. But we're still brilliant at the rugby, which we love.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I watched Kidderminster Harriers nearly beat West Ham United yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I have never been interested in football in my entire life. It was like 1-0 all the way through, 93rd minute in stoppage time. They equalised, West Ham equalised, and they went to extra 15 time. Minutes extra half time. Yeah. And the last minute of extra time.
Before penalties,
West Ham United won. Got it. And the West Ham bench was sad that they beat Kitty Harriers. Yeah. And the only reason I listened to it or watched it was because James O'Brien, my favourite DJ on the radio, is a Kidderminster Harriers fan.
It might warm you to know that there's a picture doing the rounds of the West Ham manager and the Kidderminster manager in his office afterwards having a few beers together. So obviously...
Brilliant.
That's a great day for football, isn't it? And humanity.
You know, it was a great day for football. But then again, I watched it and then I realised why I don't watch it. Because relatively boring. And every time a person of colour got the ball, they all started chanting stuff.
Really?
It was just like, it was atrocious. Yeah. That's absolutely fucking... It is really horrible. Yeah, so I won't be supporting that anymore. Fuckers.
So I'm not going to watch this. I'm going to sit here and go through all my old tweets.
Yeah, all your wordles. Right, good luck.
See you, Mike.
Thank you, miss you.
See you, man. Mind yourself. Don't go on the fucking bender this weekend.
No, never. Left never tonight. Again.
Good. Never drink 15 cans between now and work tomorrow, and then you won't be able to get your boots on. Can't get my boots on. Need to take a day off.
See you, Mike.
No boots. Good luck.
Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.